Dreams can come true in this business, and I'm delighted to be sat in a room on my own with the wonderful Martha Reeves, looking back on a fantastic career. I want to talk about when you did 94 one-nighters on a Motown tour, didn't you? And you had three nights in a hotel only.
That's all. John, those were the days doing the Freedom Riders and the picketing and the sit-ins with Martin Luther King and the SCLC, Southern Conference Leadership Society, NAACP, all of the activists trying to get equal rights for blacks in America. We didn't sit in. We actually went into restaurants seeking food and was referred to the back. We would be refused to be served. We went in the toilets that were marked black only. We paid the dues. We played in front of segregated audiences with Confederate flags behind us, with dogs on chains and convicts sweeping about where the stables were. We saw all of the ugly. We saw all of the hatred. But then when the music started, nobody remembered the segregation or the prejudice. I remember one particular engagement where Smokey Robinson made an announcement to the security people, "Don't touch our people. Don't touch the crowd. We're not going to hurt anything. They just want to get up and dance." So security stepped back and don't hit another one of our patrons with that club you have in your hand. And he stood in defiance of the security people to let them know that the Motown sound was not something that would cause a riot or to make anyone harm anyone. They just wanted to enjoy the music. The crowd had been segregated, white on one side, black on the other. When everybody got up and started dancing, though, everybody forgot where they were sitting. And it looked like a big, happy family. And I was there. I saw that. That was a first for me in my heart in the South. Mm. Being born in the South and going back there was sort of like, oh, God, I've got to go back down there, because I thought we had escaped with our lives when my dad migrated to Detroit to work for the local factory. He worked in the car factory first. Mm. And going back, I said, I know what to expect. So I kind of warned some of my friends that it might not be as friendly a place. But I had no idea it was going to be as mean and as evil and ugly as it came down on us. But we made the difference with our music.
I think the tour bus had bullets in it once.
Oh,
it?
Yeah, they shot at the bus. We were getting on, and it was as Mary Wells walked by the front of the bus, she and Marvin Gaye, they were singing duets at that time. They would sing a duet together. Bullets went off, and I dived on the floor. I felt like I was in combat. And she laughed for about 5 minutes. Oh, look at Martha. She's so silly. Get up off the floor, girl. That was just firecrackers. They're celebrating the holiday. And I thought, okay. The next morning, we were informed that three bullets were dug out of the front of the bus where the actual reading Hitsville, USA was. Someone didn't like us that much to shoot at the bus. And they could have easily shot Mary or Marvin on that occasion. So I wasn't crazy or silly to dive on the floor. But she was silly to make such a big joke and make it so light that she wasn't afraid. Well, maybe she wasn't afraid. It was good of that. But I was wary and very aware of what's going on around me and watchful from then on, because it could have been just as easy to take a life as it did to shoot at the bus.
Martha, one of your best records, No One There, I think. Oh. You like that one, don't you?
Yes, I do. I liked it when I recorded it. And then, unfortunately, it did not go on the charts or even be released as a single in the States. I think it was released as a single here in the UK, my first solo on Motown. And the mood was there. I almost cried when I sang it, especially the part about serve some coffee to lumps with no cream to your chair. I thought that was a special line because I've done that, you know. People using your driveway to turn around and you're thinking it's your man coming home, but it's no one. Serving food and sitting about. I've done that. I didn't want to bring anyone down with it, but I'm sure everybody can relate to it. And Johnny Bristol wrote it, and he showed me a couple of things to keep from crying in the lyrics, a couple of happy turnarounds vocally to keep me from actually shedding a tear, but it was such a sentimental song. And I thought for sure that it would be picked up like In My Lonely Room was a B-side. One Way Out was a B-side in the States, but an A-side in the UK. In My Lonely Room, Third Finger Left Hand. I could go on and on. My B-sides split my play, actually, because I could have probably had number one records had they released them as singles, but they put them on the other side of records, and there was a time when 45s, and I told a kid that the other day, he thought we were talking about guns. I said, we had 45s. She said, everybody had their own? I said, no, it wasn't quite like that. 45s were actually the little single records with the donut hole in it. And we've had some wonderful times. They put both sides on the 45, and so you had a choice. You wonderful announcers had a choice, John, to either play the A side or the B side, and the fans requested B sides as well as A sides. So we had split play. When the Supremes were celebrating 10 number ones in a row, we had maybe 25 B sides all in the charts. So from time to time, so I'm blessed. We're blessed to have had the number of records. You got two for one, like the new releases on the CDs that they're doing now. They've got two albums on one disc that are being released here in the UK at the moment. So we've always given you more.